Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah. Greetings. Bless you all. My name is Sister Ashley. I'm the host of tonight's show, Sister to Sister. I have Granny Barb with me, who's been in the way for, what, going on 20 years, Granny Barb? Hallelujah. She says, yes, ma'am. Got her little recorder right here. She's been carrying a recorder since the beginning of time, listening and re-listening to messages to really shape and mold her. I've got Gigi and Cheyenne with me. Bless you all. Give me some sound checks. Give me a 10 in the chat. Hallelujah. If you're listening to us live, then you already know the deal. If you're catching us on a repeat or on our channel, if you're new to Straight Way Help Meets, you can catch us live every Thursday night, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/straightway. Thank you all for tuning in, gathering in your living rooms or in your dining areas, wherever you're at, or just listening through the phone. Thank you so much. Mother Jennifer's there in Georgia. We try to do this weekly together, being obedient to just to the assignment. So bless you and thank you, Mother Jennifer, for joining in. Let's hear your voice. Get a sound check.
Shalom and, excuse me, shalom and bless you, Sister Ashley, and blessings
to the Daughters of Zion. It's an honor to be here for another episode of Sister to Sister. I can hear you very well, Sister Ashley. Looks like I've got the chat room pulled up. I see tens rolling in, and whenever you're ready, we can move forward if you can hear me as well.
Hallelujah. Around 20 weeks left until we meet again at the feast. Let's dig in, you know, let's dig in. Stay together, stay unified, get clean, stay holy. Find something every day about yourself that you want to change. Let's get transformed. I encourage you to continue to stay connected through all the messages or the things that are inspiring you, at least the Shabbat message. Praise Yah for Lion's Den, the Brothers segment, and just all the avenues, Michael Israel as well. So don't be overwhelmed. Overwhelmed is another word we want to key in on at the very beginning of the show. I thank you to my two sisters who have emailed. And I give all praise to the Most High Yah. I was so thankful. Just today I was walking all over the land with the children, and I was so thankful just for a moment. It just brought me to tears for everyone's needs being met on the land and, you know, for not having any comparison or any jealousy in my heart for anyone's needs. And it took time early on to get there, but I moved here a completely different creature. Right, Grandma Barb? Did you move here a completely different creature, Grandma Barb? She said completely. I wasn't here for that, so I gotta believe her word on that. So we'll key in on a little bit of that transformation tonight. Mother Jennifer, let's hear your heart and your acknowledgments. You know we praise the Father for knowing each other and being together, all of us. I'm thankful. I'll honor all the aged women that are listening. Bless you for all your experiences, your sorrows you've been through, for your testimony of Jesus Christ and your word, because you overcome it by the blood of the Lamb. And double honor to the leaders and all of your homes. Thank you to those who support the leaders, the women. Bless you all for trying to support and looking past any and all of our flesh, just to show honor to the vessels of the Most High Yah. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, let's hear your heart a little bit. Any acknowledgments or announcements, and let's move forward.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for keeping us this dead season, for just really allowing us to be very well taught in this ministry. You mentioned so much, Sister Ashley, that is put out there from the ministry. You know, the Most High just truly desires to keep us and keep us encouraged during the dead season. So I'm just truly grateful to know that I belong to Him. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for the continual leader that he is in my life and in his family's life, the example that he is, the example that he puts out, not only to us as his family, but to all of Israel as serving the man of Yah and serving Yah's people and showing the love of Yah by really loving and serving the people of Yah as well. And I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow, you know, for the Sabbath message on submission. It truly was like, Sister Ashley, we could have played that message tonight for the broadcast, because it truly was dealing with the minds of the women. And you could tell it was just truly, truly needed. So blessings to Pastor for loving the women of Yah so much more than we can even imagine. And blessings to Pastor's entire family. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Yes, indeed, for all they do. Hey, when I was let's kick it off. Let's go and on into this show. When I was a new mom, I was really selfish. I mean that. I don't mean that towards any of you. I'm owning that and saying truly I was really selfish, and I had a lot of emotions to sort through. I was completely ignorant of how to be a mother, and I was completely ignorant to this new baby and this new creature in my arms, the reason why he was responding or not, and I just didn't know what to do, honestly. And I had to grow, and I had to grow a lot, and I prayed a lot. One thing that has always blessed me with my journey with the Father is to sacrifice sleep, always, and to do it with joy and not to be disgruntled. This journey, I think, of sleeplessness was before my children that I did it, but then when the children come and you're more sleepy, then it may be more difficult, if that makes sense. So sleep is something that I don't demand of myself anymore. It is something that you can change within yourself, believe it or not, and you can really push past the weakness of your flesh in that area. Just encourage all of it if that helps anyone. But I also wanted to share, too, that I was so blessed spiritually at the feast this year, just taking home a lot of, I think Teacher Greg called them chunks, spiritual chunks from the ministry and applying them, just from the feast, spiritual chunks from the feast and applying them, and that was the truth that's happened to me. And I, you know, a lot of things were a second witness for me, a lot of things just really lined up, puzzle pieces, answers, directions, just listening, you know, to a lot of people's voice and hearing the you know, just the unity and the ruach. So one of the things that Granny Diane, as a friend to me, had said, you know, that she admonished me right after the feast, you know, hey, let's watch and pray. Let's watch and pray this dead season. And I even reached out and shared that with a mother in the ministry that I love. And I don't know if this will bless you like it blessed me, but when I looked up watch concretely means to be sleepless. And it made perfect sense, because when the Messiah said to watch and pray, you know the account, he returned to his disciples and they were asleep. So the sleepiness and the slumber that really truly comes over the flesh in the dead season, in a time where the sun is not out as much naturally and spiritually, I just encourage you all to be as sleepless as you can. As mothers, first and foremost, in the natural, sacrifice in your sleep and your time for your husband and your family, and then spiritually sacrificing your sleep as much as possible just for your relationship with the Most High Yah. Hallelujah. It has always blessed me to do that. Hallelujah. That's all I want to share. That, Mother Jennifer, anything to add?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, and, you know, you could just really tell, even right before the dead season even started, that this dead season, and we always say it, you know, wow, this dead season is really something, really different. You know, we say it a lot, but you can just tell that this dead season is one that you want to continue to stay alert and aware of yourself, you know, your spirit, the things that are communicating to you and tempting you that are not of Yah. So it is definitely not the dead season to ignore or to fall asleep on anything. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. All right, that's right. Let's watch. Watch and pray. Bless you. I hear him. I'll be right with you, baby. So here we go. I got two emails I want to go into, and I'm going to introduce it this way. I actually reached out to two sisters that could be an example of not being overwhelmed, being busy, having many children, just to help anyone out, honestly, just to literally reach out to those who may struggle, those who are being challenged with motherhood. I had feedback from last week's show, and I did not realize that it's so, if you can say, universal, that the enemy is trying to overwhelm mothers, that it's really trying to make it impossible. There's a lot to get past, you know, being a mother. There's a lot to get past. But let's hear those emails back to back, Mother Jennifer. I won't add anything. If you need to introduce them, go ahead. If not, just roll with it. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. First email starts off with the definition of being overwhelmed. Overwhelmed means to bury or drown beneath a huge mass, to defeat completely, to be too strong for or overpower. I was asked if I ever feel overwhelmed, and the short answer is no. I am an overcomer, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. To me, overwhelmed means defeated. The Most High already promised me through Isaiah that he would fortify me, that he would help me and uphold me with the right hand of his righteousness. As a mother, I never distribute a task to my children that I have not already equipped them with the proper tools to perform the task. I know that this is the mind of my Father in regards to his expectations for me. Sister Ashley asked me to describe my daily, weekly schedule. I am a mother of four, ages 1, 4, 9, and 10. My husband is a master auto body technician with a 20-year track record of earning based on what his hands produce. He is a large contributor to my personal discipline. I am the first to wake and the last to sleep 7 days a week. I take the children to Straightway 3 days a week as a day nurse to Granny Ruth. I have my husband's breakfast made, his lunch packed, clothes out, coffee ready, Yeti gallon of water, and everything else he will need for the rest of the day, all before 6 a.m. I wake the children by 6:30 a.m. Everyone is dressed, groomed, two sets of girls' hair styled, school bags ready, bottles filled, daily supplements distributed, and lastly, diaper and outfit change for baby. My husband loads the van every morning with a laughable load size. I genuinely need that seems as though we are going away for a week every day. Beds are made and everything is left in perfect order all by 7 a.m. I leave home around 7:20 a.m. and arrive at Straightway about 8 a.m. After breakfast, plates are made. I haul my wagon loaded down to Granny Ruth's. I feed Boaz, and the other children leave for school. I get all of Granny's things ready for her to get her day started. I plan naps accordingly to her schedule. Boaz gets his first nap of the day on my back while I bathe and prepare her for breakfast. We typically have a daily criteria of goals set to achieve for her before dinner. Usually, by the time dinner comes, Boaz has had his second nap on my back and wakes up as I wheel Granny over for dinner. I leave around 4 p.m. twice a week and around 5:30 p.m. on fourth days after putting Granny to bed. On days the dining hall is closed, I leave around 3 p.m. to get home and cook dinner. I typically get home around 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., depending on the day. As soon as I get home, I hurry to get everything unloaded, repacked. I give baths, sort laundry, vacuum, all before my husband gets home. I often laugh and say, Dad doesn't need to see all of the chaos that goes into being gone all day. By the time he arrives, peace is in the home. We typically eat half of our dinner at Straightway and the other half at home with Dad. While he spends time with the children, I usually wash dishes, laundry, repack school bags and diaper bags, children's snacks, etc. I lay out clothes up until about 9 p.m. I usually then tuck everyone in and finish getting things caught up for the next couple of hours. Then is my personal time, prayer, study time before bed. This is also the same way I start my mornings. One of the ways I have learned to maximize my day the most effectively is to become as organized as I possibly can. Organization is critical to my own discipline. My routine is effective because of organization. That is what saves me from so much wasted time and allows me to acquire additional responsibilities and duties outside of Granny Ruth. As I said before, I owe a lot of my own personal discipline to my husband. Through his background of prior military and occupation that requires much multitasking, he has taught me a lot about time management. He helps me to continually evaluate areas of improvement and ways to become more efficient. One of the things I always tell myself and find extremely motivating is, look at our ancestors. Everything they did took labor. Here we are today with water coming out of the faucet, temperature control, etc. My mind is set that rather it be 20 degrees or 120 degrees, my clothing does not change with the seasons. Let me dare not complain. I constantly reflect on my strengths and weaknesses. If I have a lack in an area, I apply a new solution. I seek to weaken a weakness and strengthen a strength. If I tell myself all of the things I am capable of, there is little room left for the things I cannot do. There was a time in my life, pre-faith, when I was working in the ICU, 8 days on, 1 day off, 12-hour shifts, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. with a newborn baby. My purification time was a short 2 weeks with doctor's consent. I ran on 2 hours of sleep a day for 8 months. I was determined to care for my own child. I truly praise the Father for every season he has purified me through. To be honest, I cannot recall a time in my life where overwhelmed was an option. My husband does not give me options or allow excuses. And because of his own workload, I have really trained myself in every area possible to not bring a burden to him in anything that I take on and not place my own requirements onto him. I truly thank him for that govern, because a made-up mind is a powerful force. He himself has been a great example to me in that area. There was a time when I was caring for Dad Dowell that we were down to one vehicle. He dropped us off at Straightway by 7 a.m. every morning, 4 to 5 days a week, and picked us up anywhere from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at night. 4 hours round trip of driving for months and never heard him complain. I often reflect on the word favor. I remember Pastor teaching on that word in a Shabbat message, and it truly charted my course, all the more so. Are there days I'm tired? Yes. And to that I say thank you, Jesus, for your favor. For I know that means you have entrusted me with much. I truly hope to motivate and encourage any sister who has yet to realize how capable you truly are and to understand that your Father has already given you all the tools needed to perform at your most optimal level. Sister Johanna, hallelujah. Ready for the next one, Sister Ashley?
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful. Thank you.
Next letter says, Shalom, and thank you for the opportunity to share this testimony. Since I can remember, my mind has always raced with thoughts of the future. What if? Even as an adolescent, I would place myself in hypothetical situations to try and gauge how I would react or respond. As I grew older, these thoughts plagued me and basically became a focal point in my life, always trying to be 2 steps ahead to avoid things like conflict and error. When I had my firstborn child, I was still in the world, so there was absolutely no spiritual warfare or fighting things off. Even as heathens, my husband wouldn't like to hear me say that I feel overwhelmed. He would tell me that I'm stronger than what I'm feeling, and not to use that kind of language because that's exactly what I would be, overwhelmed. I tried to convince myself and my husband that I was just planning ahead, but I was really consumed with worry and fear. Some ways that being overwhelmed manifested in me was being easily frustrated or irritated that things weren't going as desired or planned, being too critical of my children's or my own behavior, agreeing with defeat, being bitter against my husband for not understanding me. The list could go on. The definition of overwhelmed is to bury or drown beneath a huge mass and to defeat completely. I was buried in my own thoughts and couldn't find my way out of my own mind. I accepted defeat and intimidation constantly. One can see how this can negatively impact relationships. It's really a selfish act. I had to realize that I really had no faith in my Creator and the capabilities that he equipped me with. He fashioned me in the womb. I hated being a mother. I just wasn't aware. I was selfish and high-minded. I didn't take a good look in the mirror on how my past was affecting me and the way I interacted with my family. It has taken humility, time, deep introspection, much repentance, prayer, breaking generational curses, and self-denial to overcome this spirit. Now, Yah has steadied my mind to hear the communication from the Holy Spirit. It's much clearer now. I've slowed down. No constant mental chaos. My days are not hectic, even when there's much to do. I'm more self-controlled and patient when it comes to my children. I'm more attentive to how my actions directly affect them. I smile at them more. I hug them more. I respond, not react. I now have an unspeakable joy when it comes to being the mother of my husband's children and pleasing Yah and him above all. Still striving, still growing in the role as a mother and a wife. Still learning, but Yah has brought me a mighty long way. Sister Malia. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley?
Beautiful. Both of them are great examples of growth and mothers and sisters in the faith. So thank you so much for sending the emails like I requested. I hope that helps some of you just to remove your flesh's excuse and to really soar, hallelujah, with your capabilities. So we got two more emails. Can any of you call in, just like last week, call in if you got a question. Type it in the chat if you got a question. Send an email while we're live on the show to straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com. Hallelujah. And we'll go that way tonight. Mother Jennifer has two more emails, but I got two clips. So let's go to the clips. Maybe if you don't have any questions, this will generate them. All right, we're jumping to Teacher Gregory's testimony, Ulterior Motives. You can find this link or this listening, this teaching on Elder Mitchell Straightway Kentucky's YouTube page. Hallelujah. Chef, if you want to share that. All right, let's check out this clip. It's not too long. And one thing that he says, and I guess I'll ask you first, Mother Jennifer, is, Cheyenne, will you grab this? There's a word that we say often. We talked about it on the show. The ministry says it. All right, so a lot of us know it. It's called train wreck, but it's possibly a new term for someone listening. Let's go this way. Do you or should we want a train wreck? If we don't know what it is, if we've never experienced or we don't understand it, is it something we want? Is it something we pray for and ask for? Share your heart.
Sister Ashley, a train wreck is definitely something that you should want and desire. You know, it's similar to what when Pastor talks about when you pray for patience. You know, you have to understand and know what's going to happen when you pray for certain things. When you pray for patience, you're going to get put in situations that is going to help develop you in areas of patience. If you pray for a train wreck, then just know and understand that it's not necessarily going to be a pleasant experience, but the ending of that train wreck is going to mature you. You know, you're going to come out much more mature. A train wreck is what led me to Straightway, because that is when I met Elder Rufus, and he is the one that led me to Straightway. So without that train wreck, I don't know where I would be. And it was definitely needed to humble me because of where I was at that particular time in my life. And I can say that, you know, even from that point on, you know, you might have many train wrecks. You might have small train wrecks. You might have, you know, other things that come about, but a train wreck is when you actually get to a point where the Father can humble you enough to truly hear from Him, where you can truly be led by Him and you can follow Him no matter what, because, you know, that is the only option that you have, is to follow Him. Sister Ashley?
Well said. Let's go to our first clip. Teacher Gregory, Hallelujah, Straightway, Kentucky East.
What was your train wreck? What drove you, your desire, to obey the Most High God? What convicted you to come this way? Do you remember or do you know what broke you? Do you know? I tell you mine for an example. You see, some people, man, they come in for whatever reason they want to come in for. But me, I was tired of living the way I was living. I was tired of it. I had everything that anybody in their 20s would want or would even need. All right? Y'all know most of this. We got, I had homes, no money, stuff like that, five figures in the bank all the time. You know what I mean? I had to worry about nothing. I had the best clothes, best shoes. I had everything I wanted, but there was a void there. And when I had that void, I realized there was a void there. I actually did the same thing that everybody else would do, and that's go to church, try to figure it out. But this time, I didn't go to church just to go to church to feel good. This time, I literally went to church for somebody to rebuke me. I wanted somebody to tell me I was shit. I wanted somebody to show me where direction I need to go, because I already knew I was undone. The day I recognized I was undone, and I was out there breaking hearts, out there doing whatever I wanted to do and living how I wanted to live. But I was finally tired of it. And man, I'm telling you, I went to the church, I could not find it there. And it made me angry. So now I'm mad. Didn't know my brother left the same church a week before. Didn't know he left it. But I got pissed that day, and I was like, you know what, I'm so done with this, because there's nothing here that's going to convict me to be better. I know I'm wrong. I know I'm crappy. I know I'm undone, and I need to be redone. I need an overhaul.
Yeah.
I knew I needed an overhaul. Left that church, got home, told my brother, I ain't going in no more. Shit, man, I left last week. Then he said, look at this man, though. And when Pastor, when Elementor showed me Pastor Dow, we looked at the silver videos and stuff like that. But then when Elder asked me, maybe a week later, if he looked at his spiritual stuff, I was like, not yet. And as soon as I got to it, I was convicted. I was so done. I was convicted. I said, okay, he's telling me where I'm wrong. Pastor was always up in that pulpit rebuking and reproving. I said, I need this. Yes, I need this. And when he started going over certain things that I knew I was doing, it started breaking me. And I was just like, man, he's right. This is exactly what I'm doing. Elder Mitch told me he was going up there. I said, you ain't leaving me. And then when we got there, y'all heard what Elder was reading today in the book of Acts 4 and 2. We actually got a chance to literally see this. Walked out, played out, lived out right in front of us.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, share your heart with that clip. Is that your first time hearing it?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, it is my first time hearing it. And, you know, I really think it's encouraging hearing about the train wrecks of others, you know, those who have been around for quite some time. I remember the first time Elder Mitchell and Teacher Greg showed up on the land. I remember that first Sabbath that they were there. And you know, it really is an honor. It's wonderful to just hear that testimony and to see where they are now. Because, again, you know, a train wreck is what humbles you, and it gets you to the point of desperation where you're just so desperate for Yah. And you don't even know that that's what it is. You have no idea, but you're just so desperate. You're so tired of the way that you're going. You're so tired of being in transgression, and you just know that you need the righteousness of Yah. And you may not even know that's what it is, but it's what gets you to the point of humility so that you can truly hear from Him and you can really take heed to the direction and the instruction that is about to be given. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I'm going to go to a second clip from the same message. I really enjoy hearing anyone speak that has humility. I really enjoy that. When you hear someone speak with humility, there's like a vulnerability of that example that can really connect with you, and you're really clear and open-minded to their example, you know? And Teacher Greg has always, for me, been that way. You know, anytime I've heard him share things, he's, if you want to say, thrown himself out there, been very vulnerable to his experiences. You know, falling on the sword in front of us. And let's go to the second one. Let's see. I want to go to, yeah, here we go.
I lived out right in front of us. And I said, yo, this is it. This is it. We got baptized there, and he had the brothers run us up to the tabernacle to try to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was done. See, I can tell everybody where I was broken at, where I was jacked up, you know what I mean? And this is where we should be, right here. 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 17. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation or new creature in the KJV. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I knew the day that I wanted to become new. The day I wanted to be renewed. The day that I did not want to be, I recognized, I could look in the mirror and recognize who that dude was. And I said, that, I don't like him no more. I can't stand that man no more. This man got a bad reputation. This man is out there using and abusing and doing such things that he knows was not Christ-like. I don't like him. Now, right there, I realize now we're in dual nature, just like Shepard said in that video I watched. One of the first preachings I saw from him come out of her, my people. And I said, I got to come out of this mess. But see, again, that was a young man back then that knew something was wrong with him. And then it took a man like that who was just straightforward to break me. But he was convincing me and convicting me that, yeah, you've got to change one way or the other, but at the same time, I still didn't even know myself. I thought I did. Thank God I knew there was something needed to change. But it took being in this ministry, it took a real true discipline of being here to recognize self. Iron sharpened iron. Getting rebuked, getting reproved, getting judged. I needed those things to refine me. I had to go through those furnaces. So, I asked folks, what you come here for, right? That's what I said a little bit earlier, but I reminded everybody of Shepherd saying, remember where you come from. Right now where you come from. Right now what broke you. So that you can go ahead and return to that. But a lot of people don't come here because they were broken. Some folks have ulterior motives.
Hallelujah. All right, Mother Jennifer. Good sound bites. What comes to mind?
You know, the word or the phrase ulterior motive really comes to mind. We have had a lot of people come through Straightway Georgia who had ulterior motives, just really looking for a place to go, looking for the people to serve them and not really coming to serve. And those are the people that don't last too long. So you have to make sure that your motive is truly to come as a servant, and that you love the Most High first and foremost, because you truly will be tested. Sister Ashley?
Can we check out 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 through 17 just for a moment? He brought it out and spoke of it, so I just want to hinge on it for a moment. I never want any of us to think that you're alone in the refinery. You know, he mentioned the word furnaces. You're not alone. And there's so many times you're going to feel alone, because there is an isolation where the Most High is jealous of you, and he's going to draw you close to him. And there is a loneliness in that dynamic. But at the same time, you are a part of a people that are experiencing that fire together. And 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ constrains us." And that constrains us holds us together. The love of Christ straightens us. Concretely, behind the word constrain, the love of Christ arrests us as a prisoner. So the love of Christ compels us, it perplexes us, it presses us. But most importantly, it holds us together, the love of Christ. It says, for the love of Christ constrains us because we judge. That means we decide and we determine. We determine how to strive, how to press, what to be compelled by, what to reject, what to deny. I think about the times where I was very, you know, I'm always very open to the Creator. And I always say the thing that is the most unclean or vile in me, which is, I don't love without offense, Father, or I don't forgive easy. I'm just giving you a list of things that I can remember, things that come to mind, you know, throughout my journey and my communication. I don't love you in word and in deed. I don't love this truth. You know, I don't purely worship you. I don't, you know, I hate the fire. I want escape from myself, you know. And when you're this vulnerable and it's painful, but you're admitting the furnace and you're doing and saying what the furnace is intended to do, which is to clean you. And back to 2 Corinthians, it says, one died for all of us. Hold on. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Okay? Then we're all slain. And if we're all dead, then that would mean that we've come to an end of something, a complete end. I want to bring that up in the next verse, because it says that he died for us all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, which would mean you and I should be obsolete. There should be extreme changes within ourselves, that we would be very selfless. And it says that unto him which died for them and rose again, meaning he died and rose again for us, he even experienced death and resurrection, which is an obsolescence of one side of himself to return and rise again for another dynamic. That same change, slain end, that we should experience to rise again, to be completely different. We should be completely different characters. Like I said at the beginning, Grandma Barb, when I moved here, I was a completely different creature, right? Yes, ma'am. Grandma Barb, were you a completely different creature when you moved? Yes. Right? 20 years ago? Of course. Okay? So, next verse. 2 Corinthians 5:16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, which means I don't need to know you after your external fleshly passions, your human nature that gets on my last nerve, your frailties and all the things that are irritating. That takes a lot of love and a transformation in your mind to say that that character flaw in you is absolutely no different than the character flaw in me, regardless of how different they may seem, and you press on in love. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, mean we got his stories, we got his account, we got Christ's nature, we know about him, we can read about him, but he died, right? Henceforth that we know him no more because of his death. So we henceforth should know one another no more. Like, put aside those fleshly ways. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new formation. He's molded new. His old things are passed away, and all things are become new, literally afresh. Made new and afresh. So, let's jump to another email. I hope that brings some inspiration, because if you can't say that you are new in a lot of areas, some areas, one area, some kind of new formation going on inside of you, then let's start over, right? Let's backpedal. At the same time, your journey is to become selfless. Selfless, that you would die, hallelujah, to yourself. Okay, Mother Jennifer, when we jump back over to the emails, thank you, got an email coming in right now, too. Let's go to... whichever one. You got two, Mother Jennifer. You got two. Just pick one. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It says, shalom and blessings. We would love to hear some wisdom on the topic of true sisterhood within a community. How do we know and how do we identify when all the sisters are being supported correctly within a community? The single sisters, the married sisters, sisters with large families, lead sisters, etc. What does the fruit look like when support is distributed correctly? Would love to hear your thoughts and wisdom. Sister Ashley, did you want to answer first, or would you like me to answer?
Please answer.
So the question is, what does the fruit look like when each sister is supported correctly? And she's talking about within a community. And when I read this question, I think about what Elder Rufus says a lot. You know, he says, I never have to think about myself. And that is the appropriate way to think. He says, there's always somebody else thinking about me, always somebody else looking out for me. And he's always thought this way even before he became Elder Rufus. So it's not just that people are thinking of him because he's elder. No, even when he was brother in a community, you know, the saints, we were thinking of each other. So if everyone is thinking of someone else, all the needs are going to be taken care of. But if you have, you know, someone who is always focused on their own personal needs, then they're not going to be able to think of the needs of the community. So, like, you'll have, she says sisters with large families. So sister with large families with children, they're going to have the proper support that they need to be the mothers that they need to help raise their children. Married sisters are going to have the support that they need. They're going to be able to look at the examples that are around them and to be able to glean from the examples of the married couples, the stronger married couples that are within the community, and they'll be able to grow from that. The single sisters will be able to look at the other mature single sisters or even the married sisters. You know, everybody's going to have something that they'll be able to actually strive for, and they'll actually be able to learn from each other. So, and even the lead sisters will be supported by everyone else. So the sisters that are under the lead sister will come together to support that lead sister with whatever she might need. You know, whatever the vision is of the leader is going to get accomplished. It's going to be communicated by the lead sister, and it'll be carried out by the lead sister and all the other sisters that are under her, if that makes sense. So it's really about taking off the selfishness and being selfless, and it works as a well-oiled machine when it works that way. I remember, you know, when I first got to Straightway, I marveled at how everyone was just so selfless, loving, you know, just never complained about the work. There was always work that needed to be done, and everything got done. And everybody was concerned about somebody else. If somebody had dishes and somebody had spare time, then that person would help support the one that had dishes to do. If somebody had to cook a meal, you know, you would have another sister going in and asking, did she need help with that meal? If a sister had laundry to do and she's got children, another sister would step in and help with the children while the laundry is being done. So it's always about thinking about somebody else and not just thinking about self. Sister Ashley?
Well said. I'm going to read an email now. It says, bless y'all. I got told in the beginning of this walk to not speak that I'm overwhelmed because y'all does not give us more than we can bear. Can I share a very serious but humorous personal story before I read the rest of her email? I literally expressed my disdain to the Most High for that verse right there. I will not put more upon you than you can bear. It was always determined by him, right? I say that with humor. Like, can I not determine what I can bear, please? Because there's always something put on me that I can't seem to bear. And I talked to him about that verse. I really did. No, it's not going to move his word. I'm not saying that. But, hey, just sharing that dynamic that when you bump up against a verse that you can feel in your spirit conflicts with you, talk to him about it. You know, get past it. Back to the email. God told in the beginning of this walk to not speak that I'm overwhelmed because Yah does not give us more than we can bear. That stuck with me. I continue to ask him to equip me. I have days as a mother harder than others, and having now three children was truly a game changer. My question is, with having a two-year-old and a four-month-old, I'm trying to balance the attention that they both need and staying consistent on discipline with the toddler when I'm occupied with the baby, like feeding her, for example. With the six-year-old, I can go back and correct, but the two-year-old is best to correct in that moment. So I'm learning better ways of doing things. I know I need to learn a lot more, so I'm definitely grateful to take any further wise counsel. First thing comes to my mind, if it helps you, because I would love that you were with someone you could visually see, and, man, you would just grasp it. You know, Israelites and human beings are just visual learners anyway. But since you're not, for example, a goal for a mother is to always cultivate the relationship amongst the siblings. So you have to find that dynamic to make them all bonding, you know. For example, if you're nursing, you could be telling a story and talking to your two-year-old. She could be sitting with you even every time, sitting right beside you every time. Your six-year-old could go get a book and bring it over and sit on your other side. It's situational, I realize, because it's always going to change. There's, you know, you might, your nursing is going to change. The needs of the baby are going to change. Baby can cry, and you can go, come on, go with me, to the two-year-old. Every time baby cries, you're not creating a wedge and a divide and saying, go away, get away from me, I just need her right now. You're saying, come with me, help me, grab this for me, get this diaper, throw this away, right? And you're bringing them with you in a sense like they are going to follow you around all the time, 24/7, sun up to sun down, but you're training and you're putting into them and you're not dividing. That's so, so important that you don't ignore any child or put a wedge between the children when any of them respond. There's always, literally teaching means that you will open up your mouth and speak to your children. Do you understand why I corrected you? Do you understand why I gave the rod? Did you see baby cry? Why was she crying? You talk about anything. It forces a lot of quiet individuals to be more than what you ever would have been or speak more than you ever would have. For me, and being on a community, it put me in more uncomfortable circumstances of having to correct in the open, because that was not what I wanted to do. I always wanted to take the child away, hide him in the corner, and correct him because it was embarrassing. So I had to overcome, you know. So there's always going to be some kind of stumbling block in front of you. And depending on the environment of love and how welcoming the people are in the building, in the atmosphere, in the room, it changes the dynamics of the spirit, and it makes it more difficult for the mother or not. So being at home, and it's just you and just your children, you can make it wonderful. You can make it wonderful. Hallelujah. So it's going to take a lot of just talking, training, teaching, speaking with your mouth. Ms. Jennifer, anything to add?
I think that's very good wisdom, Sister Ashley. And, you know, just really using the wisdom and the leading that the Holy Spirit has put in you and not condemning yourself. But keeping the communication open with your children, like Sister Ashley said, you know, teaching along the way and not shutting them out. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Go to your next email. And please, if you have emails, we're banking on you tonight. After this email, we got nothing else. Type in your questions in the chat room. Make a call, 310-982-4226. Steph, you can post that in. We're looking forward to making these shows about you always and not about us. So please, we might be doing this dynamic a lot more during this dead season, this winter season, depending on how y'all always leave the show. And we ask for your emails live. We ask for your questions live. You can make it as short as long as you desire. Ms. Jennifer, next email.
Yes, ma'am. She says, shalom and bless you all. I'm not sure if this is an appropriate avenue to ask, but this is a question that I was thinking that I'm sure someone at Straightway has an answer. Here's a little context to my question. I didn't grow up in the South or church system, but I have heard that this is a fairly common thing. Someone I know has questions or doubts how they receive the Holy Spirit. They had this experience years ago. They had attended a church where the pastor just knew things about people, and he could look and he could just look at them and know very personal things about them. And sometimes it would scare people. This pastor asked them if they had ever received the Holy Spirit before. They said no. So this pastor laid hands on them, prayed, and told them to listen for the words of tongues in their mind and repeat them. They said they started hearing things in their mind, started to repeat them, felt like they received something. And from then on, they were able to speak in tongues, even after leaving that pastor. The same thing happened to their companion that they had brought with them. This experience sounds very suspect to me, but I was just wondering if you all had heard of these kinds of stories before. And if so, what spirit did these people receive? Thank you, and Yah bless. Sister Ashley?
We have a sister who is very diligent and has been given what I would assume to be or what I believe to be, the honor of helping us answer emails. She gave a great answer. I'm going to give it to y'all. She said, my sister, I personally do not know of any account in the book that aligns fully with the description you provided. I hope this is helpful. I would encourage you to go back and read the accounts concerning receiving the Holy Spirit as a refresher and always stand on the word. Blessings. That's a perfect answer. My focus on bringing this email up tonight, because this just happened just today. The email came in today. Is because I know her personally, my spirit will not allow me to not address you in a more intimate, direct way. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit before? It is very fearful to have been or had the opportunity to sit under this ministry for as many years as you have and not know the answer to that question before you even type the email. The confusion of speaking in tongues, tongues in your mind, receiving the Holy Spirit, this pastor said this, it proves that after all these years, you are still lacking in your growth and in your prayer life and in your communication with the Creator, because you would not send this question. You would not. You would know the answer yourself, and you would be able to help the sister who is in question. And your question actually proves to me that you are the one that you're asking about. You are the sister that you're writing about. You are the one wondering, this pastor said to them, have they ever received the Holy Spirit? This pastor said to them, he laid hands, and this is what he communicated. This has happened to you. And you are now reaching out to us after all these years, asking about the experience that you have experienced, trying to put it off on someone else. That's what I know to be true. So my words, with great love, trying to reel you back in, make you stable, make you stationary, and sit you right down where the Father needs you, which is with the people of the Most High, under a unified word that actually is simple. It's simple. It's the truth. He's the way, the truth, the life, and his witness is right here. Right here at Straightway. So, hallelujah, my Jennifer.
Hallelujah, Sister Ashley. I have nothing to add. I think it's very well put. So much love put out there, and it shows the importance of truly staying connected. Sister Ashley?
Yes, indeed. Rooted and grounded. No more emails, no more questions in the chat, anything going on at this time. Let me play a music break. We'll be right back, see if you guys have anything for us. If not, we'll wrap it up.
And I'd stay here forever if I could, 'cause I've seen a side of you that I believe would make the mightiest of kings and great men fall down to their knees. And when I try to speak, it's like I don't make sense. Glory of your presence is with speechless. I see your holiness can help us give you reverence. Can I stay here forever? Oh, in this moment, will you rain on me?
Your face is amazing. that you were mine forever.
We got a little bit more communication coming in. Let's check the chat room. Annette says, I'm so thankful for Yahweh for this ministry. Hallelujah. Lots of hallelujahs. Rain on me. The song playing. Absolutely. Some of us really love the word being sung. We like to play different songs for a different dynamics. Let's see. We got a caller. Let's go there. It's Sister Erica Polidor. Great to hear from you, Sister Erica. I'm pulling you up. Hallelujah, area code 606, you're live with Sister to Sister. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Shalom. Bless you, Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley. I've been enjoying the shows, thank you for answering all those questions. I just was calling because of I wanted to explain something about the email that was read last week about the miscarriage testimonies, if that was all right.
Absolutely. Talk to us.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so a sister came to me and asked the question, and I thought it was a great question, and I thought, you know, maybe some other sisters might have this question as well. She wondered if it would be okay for her to still write her experience, her miscarriage experience, even though she has not yet had the testimony of having a successful birth afterwards. You know, she hasn't had a successful pregnancy after the fact, and she was wondering if her testimony was still worth sharing, even though she hasn't had that yet. And I encouraged her and told her that it would still be a blessing to the sisters for any sister to share their miscarriage experience, whether they have had a baby afterwards or not, because the hope in sharing these experiences would be these things. It would be to help other sisters know how you spiritually overcame that experience. You know, what were things that you were able to encourage yourself from the Word? What were things that you did at home when you had the miscarriage, for example? What herbal remedies you might have taken to help cleanse yourself, or what were things that you did to help with the healing process afterwards? What did you do during that period of time? Did you rest? Did you do bed rest?
Did you walk? Just what did you do during that period of time? What did you feel like during that period of time? Because some sisters, if they're experiencing their first miscarriage, they may not know what's normal to feel, not to feel. So it would be nice for them to see what other sisters experienced and what they felt like, what were different things that they felt going on in their body. Also, you know, things like how long did you bleed? What was the bleeding like? Was it heavy? Was it light? Was it spotty? Was it like a regular cycle? Did it last for a few days or a few weeks? You know, these things are questions that sisters would have if they're experiencing a miscarriage and never have had one before. And instead of, you know, just relying on Google, it would be so nice to have the experience of other sisters, you know, just to relate to and be able to say, okay, cool, this sister experienced it this way, this sister experienced it that way, okay, this may be normal, okay, this may be a little different. And it'll just encourage the sisters to know that they're not alone overall as well.
Beautiful. It's also, this is about restoration, and I can't say that word enough because what we're doing is even for our daughters, with or without us, whether we're here
yes.
or not. Hallelujah.
Yes, ma'am.
Sister Dorothy Ziana and D.R. Harris say, bless you, Sister Erica, in the chat room. And I ask you to give everyone, before you go, the info on how to share their experiences. We shared it last week, but on miscarriages, stillbirths, like you said, mastitis, perennial tears, things that you've done. Talk to us about how to get that info to you.
Yes. Okay. So the email that you can send it to is Erica, erica.forever.yours@gmail.com. If you just send in your story, there's no, like I said, there's no wrong or right way. Just be led of the Spirit and just whatever details would have helped you during that time and that you believe would help another sister. And I look forward to putting it together for all the faithful in Israel.
Glory, thank you so much for the labor. It's an act of love. It really, really is. Like I said, it's for our daughters. Thank you. Bless your body and your womb and your everything as you recover, as you move forward. You're out of purification, Sister Erica?
Yes, yes, I'm out of purification. I've been out for about a week, and I'm very excited to be amongst my sisters again.
Hallelujah. I personally knew you were because I asked your mom, but I wanted to ask you live for everyone else to know. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for your labor of love.
Yes, bless y'all. Thank you for the show.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Indeed. That's our sister Erica, Elder Mitch's woman, Erica Polidor. All right. Real quick email. Send them in. Send them in before we wrap up the show. It's called I'm an Overcomer. It says, Shalom and blessings. As a sister that has felt overwhelmed in the past, I'm now convicted to no longer agree with that and to declare that I am an overcomer as a daughter of the King. Yah has not given me more than I can bear. I'm so encouraged, and the testimonies are so great. Bless you all, my sisters. You're very welcome. I hope, you know, and the dynamic of Yah's humility. Yah's answers coming through our humility. Let me explain. The word says to confess our faults one to another that we may be healed. One thing that will help you in your journey to get answers is that if you have one counselor or one friend or someone to confide in with your needs, with your questions, with your prayers, with the things that you're inquiring of the Most High, maybe healing, etc. If you express your humility to someone and you don't just keep it to yourself, you'd be stunned at how many times an answer will come. As soon as you voice it out, as soon as you say, man, I got this going on and this is my mind, and I'm not saying that 100% of the time because Yah will make you wait, but humility is so needed, right? When he said, if my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will heal them, heal their land. It's so true. Time and time again, you're bearing a burden. It's in you mentally. You got this going on, and you're not saying it out loud, at least saying it out loud to your Creator, right? But, you know, me and a few sisters behind the scenes this week, we shared the fact that we have failed one another as women. I used Diana as an example last week that she has cried many tears, failing the generation behind her. You know, because it is us who is weaker than they were. But as we really even apologize to each other, you know, like we have failed one another greatly as women, not supporting each other emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, whatever it took, just even being a friend, not being compassionate enough in someone's weakness to help them. And because of that, women stay isolated, they stay wounded, and of course we have a creator that heals all of that. But at the same time, we can really be more to one another, you know. So I encourage you to confess your faults one to another. And if and why I said all that is because just in case you are, let's say you're with a child who is autistic or the mother of a child who is mentally incapable of certain things, and maybe there's someone else within the ministry that you could connect with in your humility to say that I need help. And you would be surprised at how capable you could become just by reaching out and becoming friendly to someone. I'm telling you time and time again, it's like restoration to your soul, really, really is. So whatever you're overwhelmed in, whatever your area is, there is somebody, there really is, and the Ruach can put them right in front of you. You know, whether on the phone, FaceTime, or on the email, you can connect with so many women in the ministry. Make sure it's the right one. Make sure it's wise. If you question that person, you know, you wouldn't go to a woman without children to ask how to be a mother. You know, you wouldn't go to a woman with a 2-year-old and ask about your teenager. You know, use some wisdom when you're asking your questions and seek some of the, though they're few, some of the more mature age women that we have in the ministry. Hallelujah. Reach out to them, connect with them, ask the Father for someone to mentor you, help you if you need it. Mother Jennifer, your words.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, you know, the thing that I've learned about this ministry is there is always somebody that Yah can place in your path that will help you deal with whatever area you might need help in. But remember that it's going to take you getting out of your comfort zone. It's going to take you being humble, and it's going to take you actually being able to listen to the wisdom that is being put out there. So, you know, it's not to keep you comfortable and keep continuing the same things over and over again. It really is to allow you to grow in those areas. Sister Ashley?
Here comes my child. You might hear him. Mother Jennifer, I'm going to read this for you. Shalom. I'm wondering, is there any fellowship in California? Help her out.
In California, if you desire fellowship, please contact the dining hall and speak with Elder Becker. You can leave him a message, and the number that you can call is 615-688-3025. And Elder Becker will conversate with you to see if you are a right fit for fellowship within Straightway. He will ask you the proper questions that need to be asked, and he'll get you connected with the right person. So 615-688-3025, and that is Elder Becker. You can leave a message for him, and he will contact you as soon as he is available. Elder Becker receives a lot of messages. He receives a lot of phone calls. Please be patient when you're waiting for a return call. Sister Ashley?
Praise Yah. She says that it's her husband, herself, and 3 children following the ministry, watching the live Sabbath services. Hallelujah. Bless you all the way out there in California. That's where people start. You know, it's a beginning place. They start in their living room with their family, just enduring, becoming new. So welcome. Thank you for asking, and thank you, Mother Jennifer, for answering. Another question, or I should say comment in the chat room that I'm going to read, says, since the first day I heard you speaking, Mother and Sister Ashley, I knew no matter how much my spirit tried to rise up, I needed to hear you. You are my last chance before the Father completely washed his hands. And I thank my master for this ministry, because even though I never knew that I needed you, you knew I needed you. I never knew there were sisters like this to love. So thankful. Never stop trying to reach Israel. Bless y'all. Hey, keep Mother Jennifer and I lifted. Hallelujah. If we have blessed you in any way, if you're ever led to call our names in prayer, bless the name of Mosiah, because we always want to be strong enough to continue to do this work, if you want to call it a work. It is a selfless opportunity. It's a fearful opportunity, and we don't want to miss the opportunity to share our love. We just don't. Let's see. One sister says, I was strongly convinced, last sister to sister, that homeschool isn't just about craft, but truly about including the children in all that you do. Thank you. You're so welcome. You're so welcome. You know, I share my story with my oldest. I think the first and the oldest is probably a teaching tool for a lot of mothers. That's the first one getting older. That's the first one experiencing certain things. And I have to say that because I knew that he was smart enough for things, I pushed him and tore him down a lot. Anytime that I detected that, I would talk to his father to tell on myself and say that I've torn him down in this area. This is, you know, where I've, you know, spoke too much. And then I had to pray to build, you know. Then his father needed to direct me to build. But it is a wise thing for you to tell on yourself to your husband if you have that sort of communication, and you should, that bond that says this was my motive. You know, this is what was in me or what I'm recognizing, and I need help. You know, this is my impatience. This is my frustration. And just bearing all, you know, before him so that you can really, before it's too late, really try to gain a soul and not push someone away like I did with my first. Really trying to nurture him and not control him, you know. And anyway, hallelujah, praise be the Most High Yah, that even still, I constantly and continually make changes, you know, evolving for them and even allowing them to communicate one with another without always interjecting how they should speak, but letting it play out and asking them how, you know, asking them how would they speak it again, what would you say, what would be right, as opposed to just always telling them what they should say. I got that idea from an older, she's a almost woman now, but an older teenage sister who gave me a short testimony or a short comment about how she had to learn how to communicate to her siblings without saying the words that she was trained to say. It had to come from her, you know, her personality, who she was. And so we do train our children how to speak. But also at the same time, you don't want to control them and force your personality into them that it's the only way, you know. And so there's so many aspects of motherhood that you're going to learn if you embrace it, yield to it, and love it, you know, pray about it, fast about it. Yes, I fast for my children. I fast for my husband's house, you know, just whatever I can do to be the best that I could be, you know. I hope that helps. Mother Jennifer, anything to add?
I just wanted to say that a good supportive husband is the best. You know, you often hear about how a good man can teach a woman how to be a wife, how to be a mother. And you know, I hear women of the world not understanding that statement, but it is so true because the men, they know how to be wives because they have a relationship with the father, you know. The men, they understand how to be fathers. They're very balanced. When you have a good man who loves Yah, he's very balanced in his ways. And like you said, Sister Ashley, you go and you really want to get his mind, you know, tell on yourself, okay, this happened today. I said this. I believe I was too harsh. And you know, let him listen to you and then let him speak and you listen to what he says. And he will give you the balance that you need to be able to be the mother that you need to be. Sister Ashley?
Praise God. Thank you so much. Thanks to everyone who's leaving the comments who's saying yes, that you'll pray for us. Pray for the land. Pray for this land. Pray that nothing smites the shepherd so the sheep scatter. Hallelujah. That's it. No more emails, no more calls, no more comments. Thank you so much. Thanks for tuning in. We'll go out with a beautiful song from Sister Shalaya. I do want to also say thank you to those who have committed to the Temple Challenge. It's just something that's on the inside, if I can say it like that. So for everyone who is just joining us from far, far away and you don't understand, it's okay. You're not supposed to, but thank you to those in Kansas City who are doing it, Pastor Corey, who's leading it, that, yes, it's not about the vanity, but it's about the love and the care for the temple that the Most High has given us. So bless you. I am also tuned in and listening and connected. So thank you so much. All right, that's it. Let's hear a beautiful song. Mother Jennifer, you got something to end with, anything?
I think we got one more email, Sister Ashley.
Oh, that is, all right.
In there. Let me pull it up. It says, bless you all. I know this may be off topic from all the other questions, but I would like to ask about your view on the daily birth control pill, if this is something that I should stop, and if it is wrong, and yeah, to be on a birth control method. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely. Birth control pill has the – let me be cautious when I word it this way. When or if you research about something, it is wise to see both sides to make a determination. Okay, so let's say, for example, you're given birth control and you consider it the good, you know, it regulates your period. It's going to allow you not to conceive in a time that you may not financially be able to, or for any reason in your home it wouldn't be wise, etc. It's going to be great to balance your hormones, etc. But view the other side that says it actually has the potential to cause death inside your body, to maintain no life being formed in your body. Look at the society, the pharmacy that made it, their motive, their intention. Consider when it was introduced into society. Would it be a natural remedy that the Most High would ordain from the beginning of time? It makes me think of the Book of Enoch, when there were angels that introduced things, secrets, revealed ways to mankind that they were never intended to know. And so mankind began to function in these, you know, rhythms. And it talks about the wielding of swords for war. That was introduced by an angel. It talks about the roots and the herbs. That was introduced by an angel. Everything in balance, we know. Over the field for the service of man, I don't mean it like that, but there was an intention, and who is behind this, right? Like Pastor Daniel Muir said, who is behind the NFL and the NBA and all these big banks? Who's behind it when you're depositing your money, right? So I say that to come back to the birth control pill and say, consider mucus method, basal thermometers, ovulation and cycle normality, which would be just, you know, birth control based on your cycles. And I realize there are health concerns that the birth control pill is introduced into the body for, too. But sometimes we yield ourselves to the arm of flesh very easily because we learned the customs of the heathen that are vain, by the way. We learned them adapting to the society that we're in, you know, and the businesses we're in, the lady beside you at the desk that you're working at, the teacher that taught you. All these people do these things, and we don't question it from a balanced Hebraic perspective. At the same time, let's say you're taking it for a purpose, and you need that purpose, and your husband supports that purpose, then please, do not be negatively swayed by our conversation tonight. Okay? If any man do anything, do it with faith. And don't be swayed. If I can be, I hope that was balanced. Mother Jennifer, your words?
Yes, ma'am. Very balanced. And, you know, it is important to to do your research and to know your body and to know how certain things are going to affect your body. You know, how is it going to affect my hormones? How is it going to affect the communication between my brain and my female organs? You know, what's going to happen? Is my body operating better or worse with these or without them? So, yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley, a very, very balanced question. Sister Ashley?
All right. Hallelujah. Anything else, Mother Jennifer, end the show from your end, and I'll go out with a beautiful song.
Yes, ma'am. Sisters, just please continue to stay encouraged and stay awake during this dead season. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay tuned for Blog Talk tomorrow night and our Sabbath service. It's amazing how time is going, huh, Grandma Barb? It's amazing. She said, oh, yes, ma'am. He shortens the days for the very elect. I praise his holy name. All right. Bless y'all. Thank you.